All right, let's dive into these new asthma guidelines. You gave us like a ton of research and notes, so obviously you're ready to like go deeper than just the basics. We're going to figure out what's new and what it means for you, especially when it comes to like feeling more in control of your asthma, you know?
Yeah, it's true. These guidelines, they're always changing.
Right.
We're going to really focus on the biggest changes, and we're going to try to translate all this complicated science stuff into stuff you can actually use in your life.
Okay, perfect. Now, something that like really stood out to me was how much they talk about diagnosis. It's not just about, oh, you're wheezing, so it must be asthma.
No, you're totally right. It's about like a much more thorough approach, like a detective almost.
Oh, okay.
They really want your doctor to like dig into patterns like when you cough, when you're breathless, or have like a tight chest, and of course, any
So
triggers.
it's not just about what you're feeling like right now in the doctor's office.
Exactly. It's about the bigger picture over time. And then after that, to be really sure about the diagnosis, you got to do some testing. And what's interesting is how these tests can be different depending on how old you are. Which makes sense when you think about it. You know, lungs, they develop differently at different ages.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So break it down for me. What are they recommending for adults?
Okay, so for adults, they often start with a blood eosinophil count. Have you heard of those?
I've heard of them, but like refresh my memory.
Okay, so basically, if those eosinophils are high, it could mean there's allergic inflammation,
Okay.
which is pretty common in asthma. And then there's FeNO, which measures inflammation right in your airways. It's almost like they can peek inside your lungs.
Wow, a peek inside. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So, are these tests always like conclusive, or do they sometimes need to do more?
Yeah, sometimes you need more testing. Sometimes they'll look at something called bronchodilator reversibility. So they see how your lungs react to medication, basically. And if they're still not sure, they might do a bronchial challenge test, which is where they expose you to your triggers. But in a safe environment.
Like in the doctor's office.
Exactly.
This is already so much more complex than I thought. I really appreciate having a doctor who like knows all this stuff.
Absolutely. And just imagine going to your doctor and already knowing some of this stuff. It lets you be more involved in your own healthcare.
Yeah, instead of just being told what to do.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's say we have the diagnosis. Now what? The guidelines get into monitoring, which sounds like it's about more than just like calling your doctor when you have a really bad asthma attack.
Yeah, monitoring is about staying ahead of it. They recommend using these symptom questionnaires to keep track of your progress and see those early warning signs. It might seem kind of boring, like who wants to fill out forms all the time, but it's actually super helpful. Think of it like a journal for your asthma.
So you're not just relying on your memory, you're
Exactly.
actually keeping track.
And then those FeNO measurements we talked about, they're also helpful for monitoring.
Oh, so it's the same test.
Yeah. They track those inflammation levels over time, and then they can adjust your treatment accordingly.
So it's about like fine-tuning,
Exactly.
not just reacting to like really big changes.
Exactly.
What about peak flow monitoring? I used to do that all the time as a kid.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting one because the guidelines actually say that regular peak flow monitoring might not be as helpful as we thought. It might even cause more asthma attacks sometimes.
Whoa.
Really? It's crazy, right? It just shows how much things are always changing, even with asthma.
You really got to stay updated. Okay, so we talked about diagnosis, we talked about monitoring, which is already a lot, but let's get to the most important part, treatment.
Okay, this is where things get really interesting. One of the biggest things is this. Never only use your rescue inhaler without using an inhaled corticosteroid.
Okay, I've heard this before, but I don't really get why it's such a big deal.
So basically, the research shows that using those rescue inhalers alone, those SABAs, they don't really work in the long run. They give you quick relief, which is important, but they don't actually deal with the inflammation that's causing the asthma.
Got it.
So those ICS medications, they target that inflammation directly.
So it's like putting out a fire versus preventing the fire in the first place.
Exactly.
That makes a lot more sense. So I'm guessing treatment recommendations get kind of complicated.
They do. But it's all about making it personal, you know? So if you're an adult and you just got diagnosed with asthma, they usually start you on a combination inhaler. It's got both an ICS and formoterol in it, and you use it as needed.
So like only when I need it.
Exactly. It's called as-needed air therapy.
As needed air therapy.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
But what if someone has asthma like more often? or it's more severe.
Then they might start you right away on regular maintenance therapy.
Oh.
Or MART, as they call it. It's just a low dose of ICS.
Hmm.
And if that's not enough, they can increase the dose or add other medications like LTRAs or LAMAs. Have you heard of those?
I've heard of those, but I always get them mixed up.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep track of.
It is.
Yeah, but basically it's all about finding that right balance for each person. It's a journey, right?
Yeah.
Not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like finding the right medicine and the right dose, it takes time.
Exactly. It's all about working with your doctor. They use these guidelines, but ultimately, it's about what works for you and your experiences.
Okay. So that makes me think about another big part of these guidelines, self-management. It sounds like it's more than just taking your medicine every day.
It is. You're right. Self-management is about being proactive, informed, and like you said, empowered. And a really important tool is this thing called a personalized action plan.
Okay, I've never heard of that. What is that?
Okay, so basically it helps you understand your own triggers, those early warning signs, and what to do about them. Like if your asthma is getting worse, like how to adjust your medicine or when to call the doctor, it's all written down for you.
So I don't have to like try to remember everything.
Exactly, and you feel more in control.
Right, so it's not about going it alone.
No, not at all.
It's about working with my doctor even better.
Exactly.
Right.
And speaking of working with your doctor, the guidelines also talk about something called risk stratified care.
Okay, I have no idea what that is. Break that down for me.
Okay, so basically, it's about finding out who's at higher risk for complications.
Okay.
So we're talking things like needing your rescue inhalers all the time, having to take oral corticosteroids, or even being hospitalized for asthma a lot.
So those are like red flags.
Exactly. Ah. They tell the doctors that this person needs more help.
Right, so they can get more attention.
Precisely.
This is all so fascinating, and we've only just started. We've talked about how important a good diagnosis is, all the different ways to monitor asthma, and all the different treatment options. It's a lot.
It is. But you're doing great.
Thanks. I think I need a break to process all this. We'll be back in a bit with more on these asthma guidelines.
So, you know, as we've been going through these guidelines, it just makes me think about how much we're still learning about asthma.
Yeah, you mean all those research recommendations and the guidelines.
Exactly. It's like they're saying, here's what we know right now, but we need to do more research to really get this right.
So it's not like a finished product. It's like a work in progress.
Exactly. Forever. Like there's this one part where they're talking about more research on those ICS medicines for kids between 5 and 11. You know, even though they recommend starting kids on those medicines, they're also saying, hey, maybe there are other ways that work just as well.
That's like they're keeping an open mind.
Yeah, exactly. Science is always changing, even when we think we have it all figured out.
Right. What other research areas did they mention?
Well, they're really interested in the cost of all these different diagnostic tests.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, healthcare is expensive. And they want to make sure that the tests we're using are actually worth the money.
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
And then there's all this new technology, right?
Right.
They're talking about doing research on these digital inhaler monitors. Have you seen those?
Yeah, like the ones that track if you're using it right.
Exactly. They want to know if those actually help people remember to take their medicine.
That's so cool. That seems like technology could really make a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. And even something as basic as checking your inhaler technique. They want to do more research on that. Like, what's the best way to make sure people are using their inhalers correctly?
You'd think we would know that by now.
You'd think, right.
Yeah.
But apparently there's still more to learn.
Wow.
And then there's telehealth, which is obviously huge now.
Right.
They want to see if it's a good way to monitor asthma and how it compares to actually seeing your doctor in person.
Yeah, I could see that being really helpful for some people.
Right. Like if you live far away from your doctor.
Or you can't get
your case easily. And then finally, they want to do more research to figure out when it's okay to decrease those maintenance medications.
Oh, okay. So you don't take more than you need.
Right. It's all about finding that right balance.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Finding that sweet spot.
Exactly. It's so interesting to me how dedicated everyone is to improving asthma care. Like they're not just sitting back and saying, okay, we're done.
Right. They're always trying to find ways to make things better.
Exactly.
You know, listening to you talk about all this, it just makes me realize that these guidelines are more than just a list of rules.
Yeah.
It's like they're capturing this ongoing conversation about asthma.
Right, between doctors, scientists, and people actually living with asthma.
Exactly. It's not just about the science. It's about people's real experiences.
That's a great way to put it.
Mm.
So thinking about that, how do you think these guidelines are going to impact people's lives?
That's a good question. I mean, we've talked about all the details, But what's the big picture here?
To me, it's about moving from this idea of just reacting to asthma to actually being proactive about it.
Okay, so taking control.
Exactly. Giving people the knowledge and the tools to really manage their own health and still live their lives to the fullest.
Yeah, so it's not just about surviving with asthma. It's about thriving.
Exactly. And it's about understanding that asthma is different for everyone.
Mm.
It's not one size fits all.
Right.
These guidelines really try to take that into account.
And that starts with the diagnosis, right?
Absolutely. You have to get the diagnosis right in order to get the right treatment.
And it's not just about listening to someone breathe.
No, they really emphasize using those objective tests to get a clearer picture of what's going on.
Yeah.
And they talk about using different tests for kids and adults.
Right, because asthma can look different at different ages.
Exactly.
And then once you have the diagnosis, the guidelines really help you figure out what to do next, like with the monitoring and the medication.
Right. It's all laid out in a way that's really comprehensive, but it's also flexible.
So it's not like a strict set of rules. It's more like a guide.
Exactly. It's about working with your doctor to find what works best for you.
And a big part of that is self-management, right?
Absolutely. These guidelines really empower people to take an active role in their own care.
So I'm not just relying on my doctor to tell me what to do.
Right. You're learning about your triggers, your early warning signs.
Yeah.
And you have that action plan to guide you.
It's like I'm part of the team now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I really like how they address specific groups too, like pregnant women and teenagers.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like asthma during pregnancy must be really tricky.
It can be. But the guidelines really stress the importance of staying on top of your asthma throughout the pregnancy.
Right. So it's good for both the mom and the baby.
Exactly. And with teenagers, it's all about having those honest conversations about things like smoking and vaping.
Yeah, because those can make asthma so much worse.
Right. And they also talk about thinking about careers that won't trigger your asthma.
That's a good point. It's about setting yourself up for success in the long run.
Exactly. And they don't forget about the practical stuff either. Like making sure you have regular checkups with your doctor.
Oh, right. Like those annual reviews.
Exactly. Yeah. And following up after any flare-ups.
So it's about staying connected with your healthcare team.
Right. It's not just a one-time thing.
Yeah. It's about building a relationship.
And they also talk about how telehealth can be really helpful for managing asthma.
Yeah. Especially for people who can't easily get to the doctor's office.
Exactly. It's like they've thought of everything. It's all about giving people the tools and the support they need to manage their asthma and live their lives to the fullest.
It really does feel like they've thought of everything. They've created this amazing framework for asthma care.
They really have. And I think the main takeaway is that there's hope for people with asthma.
Yeah. With the right knowledge and support, you can live a normal life.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what's the one thing you'd want our listeners to remember? Like, what's the most important takeaway?
That's a tough one. I think it's this. Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Okay.
Learn as much as you can about asthma and work closely with your doctor to find what works best for you.
So be an active participant in your own care.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've covered so much in this part. We talked about all the research that still needs to be done, all the ways these guidelines are trying to personalize asthma care, and how they're addressing specific groups like pregnant women and teenagers.
And we talked about all the new technology that's coming out.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot to take in. But before we get to the final part of our deep dive, I think it's a good time to just pause for a minute.
Yeah, take a breather.
Let all this information sink in.
And when you're ready, we'll pick up where we left off.
All right, we're back and ready to finish up our deep dive into these asthma guidelines. You know, it's really striking me how asthma management is more like a journey. You know,
it is. It's not like you reach this point where asthma is just gone.
Right.
It's about figuring out what works for you and adjusting as you go.
Exactly. And these guidelines really give you a roadmap for that journey. They do. They really do. They cover everything from diagnosis to monitoring, medication, self-management. It's like they give you all the tools you need to build your own personalized approach.
I like that. So before we wrap up, are there any specific groups or situations that the guidelines talk about, like where asthma might be more challenging?
Yeah, actually, they do talk about things like asthma during pregnancy.
Okay, that's got to be tricky.
It can be. Mm. But the main thing is that you have to keep your asthma under control during your whole pregnancy.
Right, for both the mom and the baby.
Exactly. And they actually say that it's usually safe to keep taking your asthma medications during pregnancy.
Okay, so it's not like you have to choose between treating your asthma and protecting your baby.
No, not at all. It's about finding that balance.
Right, which goes back to that personalized approach.
Exactly. What about teenagers? We haven't talked much about them.
Yeah, what about teenagers with asthma?
Well, the guidelines talk about how important it is to talk to teenagers about their career choices.
Oh, interesting.
Like if they're thinking about a job that might expose them to triggers, you know.
That's a really good point. It's about thinking ahead.
Exactly. And of course, you have to talk to them about smoking and vaping.
Right, because that can make asthma way worse.
Exactly.
It's about helping them make healthy choices.
And the guidelines also talk about the importance of staying connected with your doctor.
Like having those regular checkups.
Exactly, those annual reviews.
Yeah.
And making sure you follow up after any flare-ups.
So it's not just a one-and-done thing.
No, it's about having an ongoing relationship with your healthcare team.
Right, and that's where telehealth can come in, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Telehealth can be a great option for people who can't easily get to the doctor's office.
Yeah, it makes healthcare more accessible.
Exactly. And it all comes back to that idea of personalized care. These guidelines are all about meeting people where they are and giving them the support they need.
To live their best lives, even with asthma.
Exactly.
Well, I think we've done it. We've covered just about everything in these guidelines.
We have. It's been a great discussion.
Yeah. I always learn so much from these conversations. So to our listener, if you're still with us, thank you for sticking with us on this deep dive into asthma care.
We hope you found it helpful.
And remember, these guidelines are a resource, not a rule book.
Right. Use them to guide your decisions and work with your healthcare team.
Ask questions, learn as much as you can, and don't be afraid to advocate for yourself.
And never stop learning. Because asthma research is always moving forward.
That's right. So stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay empowered. That's all for today's deep dive. We'll see you next time.